The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th and 10th chapters.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples, and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon, the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without paying." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When Pharisees questioned why Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners, he responded, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Thus Jesus explained very simply the aim of his earthly ministry. He came to cure sin-sick souls, to call sinners to himself, so that he could relieve them of the burden of their sin and guilt, providing in its place his own perfect righteousness. In today's gospel, we hear how Jesus fulfilled and fulfills his mission to sinners. Matthew records, "Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction." As we hear this description of Jesus' ministry, a number of things stand out. The first is the fact that Jesus went everywhere, throughout all the cities and villages, even allowing that Matthew may be using some hyperbole as he wrote. It's clear Jesus didn't focus only on cities and large towns. He didn't limit himself to Galilee's equivalent of Cleveland and Columbus and Cincinnati. He also went to Galilee's Bowling Green and Perrysburg, even to its very tiny Dowling and Sugar Ridge and Latcha. There wasn't a village or a hamlet too small or too out of the way to attract his attention. He went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Teaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom were central as Jesus went about his work. We often contrast talk with action. How about a little less talk and a little more action? And wonder how much talking by itself really accomplishes. Yet recall that St. Paul described a message, that is, the gospel, as the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. As Jesus was teaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, God was working through his Spirit to bring the kingdom into being. The scriptures teach that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. St. Paul asks, but how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Jesus going everywhere, teaching and proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom, was precisely how he was bringing God's kingdom into existence. As he spoke, the Holy Spirit was at work, through his word creating faith in that word and in all of his promises. Everywhere Jesus went, and Matthew tells us he went everywhere, he shared the good news, calling people into the kingdom, gathering the sheep of his flock, enlightening them to understand spiritual things, declaring to them forgiveness and life. As he did this, we hear that Jesus also healed every disease and every affliction. While the evangelists don't describe individually each and every miraculous healing Jesus performed in his earthly ministry, they record enough instances of Jesus restoring sight to those who were blind, hearing to those who were deaf, strength to those who were lame, cleanness to those who had leprosy, freedom to those possessed by demons, even life to those who had died. Enough of these things are described to give us a pretty good picture of what it means when Matthew writes that Jesus healed every disease and every affliction. With his word, Jesus fulfilled the spiritual whole in people's lives, restoring what sin had destroyed. But he didn't stop at that spiritual blessing. He provided healing from the earthly effects of sin as well. He dealt with the trouble and sickness to which human beings became subjected when Adam sinned. Anyone who does such things is bound to attract a crowd. And that's exactly what happened. People came flocking to Jesus from everywhere. And when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion. There's a world of meaning in the evangelist's use of the word compassion. In English, compassion is defined as sorrow for the sufferings of others, accompanied by an urge to help. The Greek word that Matthew uses here is more picturesque. It involves a person being touched to the very center of his being. We begin to approach the strength of emotion and the depth of feeling Matthew is attributing to Jesus if we paraphrase, when Jesus saw the crowds, his heart went out to them. The Gospels make it clear that Jesus' compassion is active and powerful This word is right at the center of the parables of the Good Samaritan and prodigal son. The priest and the Levite saw the man who had been beaten and robbed and passed by on the other side, leaving him to die. But when the Samaritan saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Compassion here expresses the Samaritan's attitude of complete willingness to use all means, all time, all strength, even his very life, for saving at the crucial moment. It's also what the father in the parable did, what moved him to welcome his rebellious son with open arms. We read that while the prodigal was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. It was compassion that caused his father to reach out to his son in love before his son ever had a chance to ask him for forgiveness or even say that he was sorry. So also our Savior, Jesus, when he saw the crowds, had compassion on them. His heart went out to them. He saw their great need and had an irresistible compulsion to help them. Elsewhere in the Gospels, we read that when Jesus had compassion for the crowds, he healed their sick or began to teach them many things. Here it's a bit different. He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And what did he do? Seemingly not much. He talked to his disciples. Here likely more than just the 12. Instructing them to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Then he commissioned the 12 to do what he had been doing, to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, and to heal every disease and every affliction. Jesus had compassion, and so he provided for the crowds by delegating authority to some of his followers. In this way, he was expanding and extending the reach of his work. He begins by sending the 12 to gather the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Following his resurrection, as we heard 2 weeks ago from Matthew, he expanded the mission from Israel only, directing his apostles to make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and by teaching them to cling as if their life depended on it, to everything that Jesus had taught them. Jesus had compassion on the crowds in their spiritual confusion and lostness by sending his disciples out to do as he had done. As the Father sent me, he would say, even so I am sending you. But Jesus' compassion for helpless and wandering sheep didn't stop there. It continues even today, as through the scriptures, and by the mouths of his followers, he speaks the gospel of the kingdom also to you. Still today, he's concerned about the spiritual confusion that would mislead people into thinking that their efforts to obey or their determination to be good could win them God's favor. He wants everyone to know that there's only one way to enter the kingdom, only one way to receive his favor, as a gift. what you could never earn or deserve. God's love, full and free forgiveness for your sins, eternal salvation. This he freely gives, purely out of fatherly divine mercy and goodness. St. Paul laid it out clearly in his letter to the church in Rome. Christ died for us. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. We are saved by his life. Eternal life is the free gift of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who have been baptized into his death and so have been clothed with his own righteousness. All of this we know because Jesus had compassion and sent out and sends out laborers into the harvest. As it was for those disciples, so also it is for us. Jesus said to them, "You receive without paying, give without paying." Or in another translation, "Freely have you received, freely give." Having been blessed with the good news of forgiveness and life in him, Jesus invites us to liberally share it, to be his partners in telling everyone what he has done. God bless you, ever to cling to his wonderful message of salvation, and also in joy and compassion to share it. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.